And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Preacher, that sounds sort of selfish. No, just hang on. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Exclamation point. Now notice, the entire prayer is one long sentence. Huh? And God granted him that which he requested. And notice verse 38. Then it goes right back into name after name after name after name. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love, for your mercy. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for this church. I pray, Lord, that you challenge us with this message as you challenge me, Lord. I pray, Lord, for clarity of thought and clarity of speech, and help me to say tonight exactly what the Holy Ghost would have me to say, nothing more and nothing else and nothing else. In Christ's name, everybody says, I want to preach tonight on the prayer of Jabez. Amen. Matter of fact, I've got a book in my library by Herbert Locker that's called All the Prayers of the Bible. And probably after that, it was probably when I got saved. There was a pastor there at the Stinnett Gap Church of God. His name was Albert Burkhead. Matter of fact, in the Bible that I'm preaching from right now, amen, on the first or second page, I got a list of five men that's been my pastors through my life. I've wrote them down. I didn't want to forget. My first pastor was Brother Burkhead. His first name was Albert. I mean, Brother Burkhead, I just got saved and was eager, but he was so loud I couldn't pray because I'd be in tune to hear him pray. Huh? I mean, he was just really boisterous in his prayer. He wasn't trying to be, but he was one of them old war horses, Church of God pastors that, you know, had lived right. Lived right. I mean, a lot of the folks there didn't like him. I remember my aunt was one of them. They didn't like Brother Burkhead because, you know, he sort of had a platform standard and wouldn't let certain, I mean, in the Church of God. Amen. Anyways, I remember him praying. Well, when the Bible records a prayer, I mean, it lets us in on just something sort of personal. Amen. And so when you read this, amen, about Jabez, and you want to first stop and say, now God, I know that the Bible's inspired. Holy men of old wrote the Bible as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost, Sister Jewel. And God, why did you stop this 9 chapters, over 500 people's names mentioned, and only one of them that you even talked about with any depth was Jabez? Well, you automatically say, why? Am I telling it right? You automatically say, well, what's so special about Jabez? Amen. And you know, and this is very, I know it's boring for you and I to read, but this first 9 chapters was very important to the nation of Israel because it was written by Ezra. Amen. And it was written after the captivity in Babylon. And some of them had went back to Jerusalem. And Ezra wrote every name, amen, over 500 names, because he was wanting to paint a picture in the nation of Israel's mind, though they had been taken captive and the judgment of God was upon them, that God hadn't forgotten not one of their names. Well, did not Jesus say in the New Testament, my sheep, amen, will hear my, I know them by name. The Bible talks about, amen, God writing us our names down in the Lamb's Book of Life. So Jabez here is a very important individual if the Bible, amen, stops just long enough, amen, to mention a little bit about him. Ezra was wanting to remind Israel, and he wrote to assure them that though the throne was gone, the royal line was still there, and he produced the proof of these lists of names for them. God had not forgotten his promises to Israel, though the rebellion and apostasy of the nation had postponed their fulfillment. Why was this prayer so special? Amen. Because at the end, it said that God granted him that which he requested. Amen. Are you with me? And in this long list of names, in this story, amen, there is a man called Jabez. Now, instantly, the Bible says, and you probably don't know this, maybe you do, but Jabez, amen, in the Hebrew means pain, sorrow, sadness, trouble. And the Bible said his mother named him that because she said, I bear him with sorrow. Now, we don't know why, amen, whether it was through the birth, amen, through for whatever reason, we don't know, except the Bible says, she said, I named him Jabez, I named him pain. Amen. And I was reading some today. Amen. And you know, when you think of people naming their children in the Bible, you think of Israel and Isaac and Jacob and Moses, and certain names in the Bible are just names of positive and rejoicing. And I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to name my child a name like pain, would you? Or sorrow. So for whatever reason, Jabez, you know, now I hate to bring this up. This is a carnal illustration. But I remember a country song with Johnny Cash. Was it Johnny Cash? Help me out on this, Kobe. He's a former Johnny Cash fan. I hope so. And was it Johnny Cash who sung that song, A Boy Named Sue? Amen. You might remember that, Boy Named Sue. And through that song, man, he had to fight his way through life. You remember that? I know it's carnal, but you all get the picture. So as I was reading two or three commentators on Jabez, most of them, of course, they didn't mention the boy named Sue, but they said, no doubt Jabez, through his young life, amen, when he come around a bunch of boys, and they said, my name's Ben, my name's Joseph, my name's Zia. What's your name? Jabez. You got anything to say about it? You get the picture. I mean, you got to get that, or you really, because when you read verse 10, you think, man, what a selfish man. Bless me, enlarge my coat, just pour it out on me. You almost want to, you first get to thinking if you ciphered out first, said, man, but God, you want to say, I mean, if you didn't have that last part in there and God granted everything which he requested, you'd almost say, man, selfish ain't he? But we don't see that. We don't. No, because God granted everything that he requested. Amen. He bore and embarrassed the name. Amen. A name that would be called pain or sorrow. She had bought a baby born into the world, but instead of going into raptures of joy, she bitterly called him Jabez, meaning sorrow, trouble, or pain. His birth, instead of being a source of joy to his mother, was a source of sorrow and trouble. Maybe what happened to my real mom. Huh? Anybody ever had some, I start to say bad luck, because we don't believe in bad luck or good luck. But anybody ever felt like you might have been born on the wrong side of the tracks? Thank you, Sister Paula. You know what I'm talking about. Most of you folks don't. Most of them don't. Thank God you don't. Thank God you don't. But if you've ever come from where maybe me and Sister Paula's come from, sometimes you do fight things like that in your mind. You know, I know some of you think we're sort of silly. You know, oh, pitiful Paula, oh, pitiful Rick. But, well, you just ain't been there. So give us a little room to have pity, or self, whatever you want to call it. Amen. I know self-pity's wrong, but you get the picture. But Jabez was like that. His mama just called him sorrow and trouble. Well, I'm sorry, but I've had three children, and Sabrina and Hope and Isaac. Amen. All of my children have Bible names. Sabrina's middle name is Pollyanna. Anna's a Bible name. Anna is my wife's middle name. That's where Anna come in. My grandma's name was Polly. And so we sort of named her after my grandma and my wife together. So we got her named Pollyanna. She don't like that name. Amen. And I remember when she first married Jonathan, and we'd call down here and I loved it. She'd talk about James calling her Pollyanna. James called me Pollyanna. James would call her Pollyanna all the time. I didn't call them trouble. Am I making any sense? You got to see this. Amen. Because if you don't see really some of the trouble that Jabez no doubt had being named pain or trouble or sorrow. I know some of your children might be trouble to you through life. Amen. You might want to name them Sue or something else in life. I don't know. But we didn't. Matter of fact, I was real careful what we named our children, because I remember when I went to school, certain boys and certain girls that were named certain things and rhymed with certain things, and that was just their name was. So I was real careful not to name my children things that could be made fun of. I know I'm sounding silly, but I did. We thought about that. We just didn't come up with a name. We thought about it. We prayed about it. We sought certain names out, different things. I didn't want to get a name that maybe could be made fun of or anything like that. But Jabez is, hey, trouble, come here. You talking about something with low self-esteem. You talking about with somebody that had a chip on his shoulder. You talking about with somebody that had a sad story. Amen. So bitter was the very thought of it indeed that she commemorated it in the name she gave to her son, Jabez. From the start, he was saddled with it, a constant reminder that the circumstances of his birth was such that he was a source of sorrow to his own mother. I seen something, heard something this week. A mother that was a lesbian, a prostitute, so sad. And she made a statement to a daughter she had adopted when a child was born, and she never helped this baby. And this prostitute, this lesbian, this very ungodly, very wicked woman cried with tears, amen, and told, amen, and left a message to her daughter, amen, the reason I, listen to me. I heard this with my own ears. She said, the reason I gave you away, honey, I love you. She said, I love you very, 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 very much, though you may never understand. But she said, I didn't want you, amen, to be raised like I was raised, because she was raised when she was 11 years old. Her mother sold her purity, amen, and she'd be turned into a prostitute for the rest. I mean, it was just an unbelievable story. And she said, the reason I gave my baby up is, she said, because I didn't want to molest you, or I didn't want to make you become what I am, and I just want to give you a better life. So I'm trying to paint a picture here that Jabez didn't have good things going for him. But somewhere in the midst of all of that trouble, in the midst of all of that, he had heard about a God. He had seen, he had read something about God. Maybe he had read about how that God changed Jacob's name to Israel and made Jacob that old serpent, that old wicked person, and how God turned Jacob's life around through him wrestling with God all night long, and God blessed him and made him a name that's known still throughout the world. I don't care where your past is. I don't care how bad your past has been. This scripture tells me that you can be somebody for God. You can get up. You don't got to linger in your past and molly grub and amen and just all of your life. You can get up. Huh? This scripture says, hey, you might have had a name, boy, been a boy named Sue, but you can get up. Huh? Thank you, Brother James. You don't got to stay there. You don't. Everybody wasn't raised in a godly Christian atmosphere. Like some of you were very blessed and fortunate. I'm telling you, you can have the most terrible past. Amen. And yet, amen, hear about God. Jabez. Why did Jabez pray to God? Because he had heard. Oh, I know it doesn't say that, but I don't think I'm out of the text here. Some, he prayed to God because he had heard. He had read. He had known something in his life. Amen. Something triggered him because he come before God with a one sentence prayer, and there was four things. Everybody say four things. Four things. Amen. Four requests and one sentence, one prayer that Jabez prayed. I want to try to preach that to you, and I need to hurry. Amen. But his problem drove him to his knees. You don't got to put a gun to your temple and pull the trigger. Because life ain't dealt to you a great hand of cards. And I know that's a carnal illustration, but you get the point. Well, my life's a mess. My life, you just don't know where I've come from. You don't know my past. You don't understand that. And I'm glad I don't. That way I can just preach at liberty here tonight. But I'm telling you, you can get up. You don't got to live. You might have had a bad past. There might be some bitterness. There might be bitter things in your past, rather, that taken place. There might be some stories you may not have shared with anybody. Oh, you might have just totally, but there's some things might be back there that you ain't shared with nobody. Too embarrassing. Amen. Too troublesome. You don't want to bring them up. But Jabez, amen, though his name was trouble and sorrow, Jabez, amen, was driven to prayer on his knees. And notice what he said. Listen. Jabez called on the God of it. Well, when you get in trouble, don't call the psychiatrist. Get on your knees. Talk to God. Don't call your next door neighbor and tell her all your trouble. Get on your knees and talk to God. And here was his prayer. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me. He asked God, Lord, I feel this. He asked God to make him a blessed man. Oh God, he said, bless me. He says, in other words, I've never been a blessing to anyone in my life. I was not even a blessing to my mother when I was born. And he said, I want you to change all of that. See, when you see it in a different light, it ain't selfish prayer. He said, bless me. Bless me. He said, I want you to change. He said, I wasn't even a blessing to my mother when I was born. She didn't call me a blessing. She didn't name me after some, amen, beautiful experience that she had with God. She called me trouble. She called me sorrow. She called me pain. Amen. Everybody made fun of me. Amen. But he said, God, I'm a grown man now. Make me a blessing. Amen. I've never been a blessing to anyone. Bless me. Bless me. Bless me. He said, I want you to change all that. He said, henceforth, I want to live beneath the conscious enjoyment of the blessing of the Lord, which maketh rich and addeth no sorrow therewith. Make me a blessed man. Huh? And when you look this word blessed, amen, notice what it says. Amen. Oh, that thou wouldest bless, B-L-E-S-S. But when you look it up in the Hebrew, it's actually a plural word. Blessing. Blessed is in the plural. Showing that God, and I love this, amen, is a prodigious giver. Did you know, you remember, I don't know if you remember or not, but 4, 5, 6 months ago, I preached about the feeding of the 5,000. I can't even remember what I preached on. But I got some new computer software in the other day, and I got to looking through some things. And I found out, in looking at that, that is the only miracle now, that is the only miracle out of all the miracles that Jesus did. The feeding of the 5,000 and the leftover, you remember that 12 baskets full? That miracle is the only miracle, amen, that's recorded in all four gospels. I'll tell you, God is not a stingy God. Huh? I remember what I was preaching from now. I remember my title, I preached on my cup runneth over. I remember, thank you, Holy Ghost. Remember that? And I told you that God isn't a stingy God. Amen. God, amen, is a giver. Amen. Mark the word indeed. Bless me indeed. Now don't look at that wrong. Amen. One commentator that I read this evening said, he said, it's like saying bless me and then having about 10 explanation points right after it. Amen. He was trying to drown, bless me indeed. He said, it's like saying bless me with all capital letters, bolded, amen, underlined. He said, it's praying, bless me indeed. Amen. It speaks of the, amen, the great character of God. God does things, amen, in a very superlative way, never in a stingy way. Thus we read that God told the seas to bring forth abundantly. Huh? The Hebrews saying on the resurrection side of the sea as they contemplated the destruction of Pharaoh's army. You remember what he said? They said the Lord had triumphed gloriously. He don't halfway. What's that song say? He didn't halfway save me. He didn't halfway. Whatever. I don't know the song. I just heard y'all sing. But he didn't halfway save me. He didn't halfway give me the Holy Ghost. He didn't halfway bless me with a wife. He didn't halfway bless me with anything. Amen. If God does anything, he's going to do it abundant. He's going to give you life, Brother XL, and give you life what? More. Not just more. Are y'all with me tonight? Why don't we have church tonight? He blessed me with more abundantly. Life. Hallelujah. I mean, he just didn't save Adam Winston. Amen. He blessed him abundantly. Amen. Above. He blessed him more abundantly. He didn't just save Sister Lisa the other night, Sister Lisa, but he's blessed you more abundantly, gloriously. God don't just halfway save you. Huh? He don't just halfway save you and say, all right, now, let's see what they're going to do. No, that's not God's attitude. God's attitude, he's going to bless you. He's going to bless you abundantly, huh? Amen. Jesus said it like this. He said, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free. Thank you, Sister Eloise. Indeed. Woo! I mean, I'm telling you, amen, what God offers to us is not just kindness, but loving. Loving. Am I preaching to save folks or not? All right, I'm just wondering here. Amen. Not just mercy. When God offers us mercy, he don't just offer us mercy, but he offers us tender mercy. Jabez seized hold of this dimension of God's character. Bless me indeed. He said, I want to be a blessed man. Oh, Michael Combs has come out with a new song. It's pretty good. I don't like to hear him sing, but the song's pretty good. He said, I'm one blessed man. Amen. One blessed man. One blessed man. One blessed man. But the second thing, notice what he said, bless me indeed. Anybody pray that way? I think we need to go back and he wasn't saying here, make me rich. He wasn't saying, let me drive the nicest chariot in all of Israel with the finest of camels. Of course, we would call it a Cadillac. Huh? He didn't say, oh, God, let me drive. We pulled up today at the store, and I told him, I said, there's a Lexus. I said, I'm going to put my Dodge van right up beside of it. But I just owe $5,000 on a Dodge, he wasn't praying for some kind of, now bless me indeed. The second thing he wanted, notice what he said. His request was this. Even bless me. Can everybody say bless me? Indeed. Maybe you need to highlight that in your Bible. And when you go to bed tonight, say, make this prayer your prayer. Or when you get up in the morning before you go to work, like Brother Gardner said, get on your knees and say this prayer. Lord, bless me indeed. I'm not asking, Lord, for a new house, a new car, a new pair of shoes or anything, but bless me. You know what he said, Lord, I'm not going to mention what I need. I'm just going to trust you. Old Swindoll said, he said he didn't say the blessing that he wanted. He just left all that up to God. You just bless me, God. You just, whatever you see I need blessed with, he just totally left it. How many put it? You bless me, and he left it blank. Indeed. He didn't say with what or who or why or whatever. He didn't ask for money. He just said, bless me indeed. Whatever, God, you see I need. It's going to make my life more better for the kingdom of God. Bless me. Second thing he said, listen. Lord, and enlarge mine coast. Now the first thing he asked, he said, Lord, make me a blessed man. Now he's saying here, make me a bigger man. Not bigger in size now. Of course he'll do that too, won't he, Brother Brad? He'll make me a bigger man. Enlarge my border. Oh God, he prayed. I'm so tired of my narrow little life. I've been so cramped, so circumscribed, so turning upon myself. He said, I want to break out of this self-made prison. You know, some people raised like that, they get in a low self-esteem mode. Come on here. They stay in their own little world. They don't want to go out with nobody. They don't want to eat with nobody. They just, come on, I have seen people like that. They don't want to be around crowds. They don't want to be around nobody. They're just hummed up. Their life, you know, they're just scared they're going to get hurt. So they don't trust nobody else. And they live in this little narrow. But Jabez said, I'm tired of living in this little world of my own. Sister Letha, why are they pointing at you for? I didn't call your name. I didn't call her name. Y'all leave her alone. Amen. I'm just kidding. But don't we sometimes? Even sometimes, can I share something with you? Even sometimes when I go to a camp meeting, me, preaching. Amen. And I see men like Brother Rich and Brother Webb and certain ones sitting at a certain seat, and they might have 5 empty seats there. I'll walk on by because I don't feel worthy. I'll say, they don't want to sit beside of me. I'm nobody. Sometimes I got to fight that mentality. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Look at your friend. It's empty. Now, seriously, Sister Letha, have you ever thought thoughts like that? Thank you. Sister Paul, have you ever thought? Oh, yeah. Y'all, I got 3 or 4 with me here. I've got me a little gang over here. Y'all just got to hang on. I'm just going to preach 2 or 3 here. We're just going to cry right through this, ain't we? But we're going to get to the end of it, hopefully. Just enlarge me. Make me a bigger man. Make God. There was one way, amen, a man could enlarge his border was he could go and take something away from the enemy. Huh? That's what God did for Israel with Canaan land. Ain't that right? Huh? What he took in battle, amen, was his. In Joshua 1 and verse 3 said, so when Jabez prayed, enlarge my border, he was really asking God to make him over a victorious believer. He prayed too that God would do even enlarge, make me a victorious believer. Get me out of my shell. Lord, I was born with this name that's been an embarrassment. Lord, it's caused me to hang my head low when I walk into town, but God, enlarge my border. Get me out of my shell. Get me out of my shell. I'm tired of living to myself. The Bible said in Genesis, it's not good. Help me preach. For a man. Of course, I understand what he's talking there. About a mate. I understand that. But I believe that same principle. It's not good for you to want to live by yourself all alone. Nobody around. Nobody. Huh? Matter of fact, Ecclesiastes says it like this. Woe to the man who is, what's the next word? When he falleth. Woe to the man who is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another. Woe to the man that is alone. But did you know, how many remembers, I don't know what chapter this is in, what help me out, Bible readers, the man, the legion, when Jesus come to the land of the Gadareans and there. What chapter is that? Where's that at? Mark 5. Amen. You know, when you find he was alone because he was demon possessed. When my mom kept foster children many years ago, over 26 years ago, when mom kept foster children back then, when her and dad was still together, amen, she kept foster kids back then, they was doing some special things with children that was raised in Satanism homes. children that were in bad situations. Amen. They had to take special classes back then, 20-some years ago. I remember it very specific. Amen. And mom said, they told her, one of the things you got to watch out for with teenagers when they feel, and I think I've shared this here, is they want to go into the room, shut the door, never come out. Be careful. Don't draw into a shell. Amen. One of the signs, you know what I heard Brother Mike Roberts say? I think it was Brother Mike and two or three other preachers got together. Amen. This has been probably 15 years ago. Maybe 10. Brother Mike Roberts and several ones got to thinking, amen, there was a preacher that failed at that particular time, a certain big-name preacher that had failed to adultery. I've heard this from different ones since then. And they said, and they looked back and said, you know what, we started noticing about Brother So-and-so from that state, and Brother So-and-so from this state, and Brother So-and-so, and said there was some common things that, and said we noticed that when a man was, when it finally come out on this person, amen, there's probably some exceptions, but they were saying, I remember, amen, they were saying one of the things is that pastor or that preacher, amen, had quit going to camp meetings and had quit going around and just sort of drew in his own little world. Amen. He may not even realize it, but the devil was wanting to get him all alone, away from the fellowship, away from brothers of like faith. That's why it's even bad for a young person, any young person, just want to be alone all the time. Because if he can get you alone, it's just like that sheepfold, amen, and that fox, amen. It's that sheep that strays from the foe that's more likely to get attacked by the fox. Are you with me? Or the wolf, amen, but stay in. And so Jabez was saying, enlarge my boy. I don't want to be all alone. I'm tired of my little narrow world that I live in. Get out of that self-pity. Poor me, nobody loves me, I'm going to go to the garden and eat worms. You never heard that song? Nobody likes me, everybody hates me, I'm going to the garden and eat worms. It don't rhyme, but it's a song. I heard John Gebert sing it, it must be a real old song. He said he sung it when he was a boy. Any old people remember that one? Okay, we got some old people in the house. Y'all forgive me. I better, there goes my amen corner. Going to go, well, don't get in that shell. You see that? Make me a bigger man. Get me out of this, Lord. The third thing, and I got to hurry. Amen. Not only want to be a blessed man, a bigger man, enlarged, but he said, and that thine hand might be with me. He wanted God to make him a bolder man. That thine hand might be with me, he said. That is a mighty big hand to have with us, is the hand that holds, amen, the seas in the world in the palm of all the water in the palm of his hand. I want your hand to be with me. Jabez wanted to hold hands with God. Well, you know what? You got to be awful close to a person to hold hands. When was it yesterday, honey? You reached for my hand and we held hands. Was it yesterday or this morning? I can't remember. You mean y'all hold hands? Yeah, every time I get every chance we get. Matter of fact, amen, we threw Isaac with Sabrina and Jonathan today. We threw Hope with Carrie. And I said, let's go out and eat now. It's me and you. I didn't want to go with Jonathan and all them. Let's just me and you. Anyways. Oh, yeah. One has to be close to a person to hold hands. So what Jabez was really praying was this. Not only might he and God hold hands, but that nobody and nothing would be allowed to... You can't hold hands when somebody's between you. So he was saying, God, I don't want nobody between us. Sorry, Wesley, but I just don't want you in between us. If I went home with my hand, I won't boot you out of the way. I want your hand to be with me, God. Woo. The fourth thing. Amen. Sister Jewel, do you need the Lord's hand with you? You need him to hold your hand. You're going through anything right now, you just say, Lord, you can sort of relate, Lord, I need you to bless me. Indeed. Lord, I need you to enlarge my coast right here. Lord, I need you to I need you to hold my hand. Huh? You might know what I'm talking about. You see this and, man, what a prayer. But then he said, notice what he said. He said, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil. Lord, make me a better man. Make me a blessed man. Make me a bigger man. Make me a bolder man. But Lord, make me a better man. That it may not grieve. In effect, he said to God, oh God, I'm living in a very wicked world. And I see sin all about me. I've seen what it has done to others. And I want you to keep me from it. I don't want you to let me get bitter, Lord. Don't let me get angry. Don't let me be jealous. Don't let all that. Huh? I know if I once give away to it, he said, it would fill me with sorrow and grief. Keep me from evil, God. I put myself on your side so far as the entire sin question is concerned. Indeed, the word he used for evil carries the ideal of moral depravity, corruption, and lewdness. God, keep me from sinning. He's the only one that can. You can't keep yourself from sin. You think you can, you're fooling yourself. He's the only one that can keep us. But notice what he said at the end. And God, what's the next word? Granted. And God granted him that which he requested. No wonder the Bible said he was more honorable than all of his brethren. Even though he may have had the worst name of all of them, he was a man that sought the face of God. I want you to lift your hands right here, everybody in the house. And I want you to pray this prayer with me. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I pray like Jabez prayer, Lord, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Lord, and please enlarge my coast. And Lord, that thy hand might be with me. Lord, I'm walking through the darkest trial of my life. Lord, I'm walking through some rough times. Lord, it's thundering and storming. Nobody knows really, Lord, what I'm going through, but I need you to hold me. I don't want to just hold your hand, Lord, because I might get weak and slip. But I want you, Lord, as a father does his son, I want your hand to hold me. And Lord, keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Come to the piano, Hope. Come to the piano. Come to help us sing, Sabrina. God answered the prayer of Jabez in a spectacular way. Bless me indeed. Where are you at tonight? May feel like Jabez. You may feel like you've got that name and that past looming over you. I'll never overcome this. Maybe you that just come back to God, the devil might already said, man, you're never going to overcome all that past. You got all that hanging over your head now. You got to pray through all of that. But you know, the Bible says that when a man or woman gets saved, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And we become justified. That's a Bible word. The word justified means, you could say it like this, just if I'd never sinned. As the song was sung tonight, now that he looks at Lisa, he doesn't see anything, Sister Lisa, in your past. God doesn't even know it. Is that the Bible? Am I in the Bible? That's the Bible. Brother Adam, when you prayed Winston, you asked Christ to forgive you, come into your heart, and he saved you, Every single thing in your past is erased. It's like God took a giant eraser, went down the wall, amen, the blackboard of your life. It's not even, oh, I know there's a devil that will sometimes but say, no, no, that blackboard's clean. God with his blood cleaned it. He cleanses us from all sin. He blots out my sin. Woo! Devil, I'm not going to live in the past, but I'm pointing my eyes toward the future. And from here on out, I'm going to pray like Jabez and say, God, bless me. Not with a Cadillac or a fancy home, but Lord, whatever you see fit that I need. Amen. That's going to make me more better. God, bless me. Bless me. Bless me, God. Let's stand all over the house. Worship the Lord. Lift your hands and worship the Lord. I feel the Spirit of God speaking to hearts. Oh, Lamb of God, touch us tonight, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God, you've blessed me, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Matthew Henry, years ago, was robbed. I'm talking over 150 years ago, he was robbed. And he went to church where he pastored and started preaching and told the story how he was robbed and how that after the robber left him, he said he started worshiping God. Somebody come up to him after the church service and said, Brother Henry, how could you worship God after you was robbed? Your biffle was taken and all your money. He said, because it was not I who robbed. Did you catch that? Was it old brother, some of y'all would remember him. What was his name? The older gentleman. He's dead now. He just died recently. Brother Boney, anyone know him? The old Talmadge. You remember him? Shouting Talmadge. They said when his house burned down, y'all heard it, ain't you? When his house burned down and he come home or was out in the yard or something like that and his house was, I guess, burning down right then or had burned down, he was just shouting up a storm. Huh? Him and his wife got out of it. Just shouting. What gets in a man that does that? It's just God's blessing. He had that Job had when he said, Lord, he fell down and worshiped and said, Lord, you blessed is the Lord that giveth and blessed be the name of the Lord. You gave it, Lord. You took it away. Is it going to hinder my relationship with you, God? Whether I live in a brick home or a mud hut, I love you. Don't think God has forsaken you because you're walking through some dark times. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. I felt that. You do at times. But I'm telling you from experience. Be careful when you feel like God has forsaken you because of the darkness that all you can see. You need to pull hold of that Jabez prayer and say, Lord, I need your hand. Hold me, Lord. Karen Peck sings that song, Hold Me While I Cry. Been one of those days when everything went wrong. Let's gather into a song. Come on. Come on, church. I'm done preaching. I preached too long. Forgive me. Lord, bless our church indeed. Exalt the borders of our church. Oh, God. Extend, God. Put this church in the palm of your hand, Lord. Keep us. Oh, Lamb of God. Oh, God. Listen, church. We're not serving a God that will just give you a little. Did you catch that while ago? Somehow our prayer is like that, though. Sometimes we pray, and I don't know, we try to be humble, and which that's good, but sometimes we forget just how gracious a giver God is. Sing, girls, sing.
So very.
Come on, get some help tonight. I want you to leave here encouraged tonight. I'd love for you to leave here blessed tonight. I want you to leave here tonight feeling you can face this week without hanging your head low. Come on. Come on, come on. Come on.
Walks on water.
Oh, God, help us.
And I have never.
Hallelujah. Oh, sing it, sing it, sing it.
Sometimes I'm hiding away from the troubles around me, like a child who's afraid of.
Thank you.
haven't been working out right. The answers I've prayed for have been slow in coming. Feels like I'm trapped in the night. But if I know God, He'll find a way to bless me. It's just like Him to turn things around. He'll take a bad situation and work it for my good. Oh, that's how life goes if I know God. Sometimes it's hard to remember. Oh, but how could I? Feels like I